Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
You've waited all week, and now the wait is over. It's the only unfiltered media podcast in America. This is Trash Talk on WEEI.com. Here he is, your boy, Blind Mike. Blind Mike.
And I'll be very, very quiet. No one move. Don't say anything. If we all stay very still, they will not delete last week's episode. And if we don't make too much of a fuss, they'll keep this one up too. So no one say anything. No one tell anyone you're listening. That's the best way to promote a show, right? Make it so that you aren't allowed to say it exists.
Everyone needs to just not listen.
Remain still. Don't move. Just be very quiet. Watch this. Well, listen to it, rather. In your headphones. Don't let anyone know what you're listening to. Jesus Christ, this place. So, last week, I won't dare speak of what we talked about.
We discussed things.
Yes. Some very bad things. We were bad boys. Very, very bad. We've learned our lesson, and we're not going to talk about those things anymore. But here's the strangest part. So, we talked about the Brady thing. They don't really want us talking about it. That's fine. I honestly, I'm fine with that. I get it. Brady's a business relationship. It's not the usual political correctness things we rant about. That's an actual business dealing. So I view that as different. And if they tell me not to talk about it, who the fuck am I? I'm doing a free podcast. So I get it. I don't like it. I don't think it makes a lot of sense.
It makes no sense.
No.
At all.
I don't think me talking about Brady perpetuates the story.
No, well, it doesn't make sense in.
It doesn't make sense in the context
that every other show here talked about it. They tweeted it out, like
yeah. So, anyways, they tweeted out a lot.
Yeah, like every
so
hour, every
so
show.
that's why I just assumed I could talk about the Brady thing honestly, the Brady hang up from no, I mean whatever happened,
what?
whatever nothing, the nothing that happened. I don't even know what I'm talking about. We talked about that last week, and then I got a call that I haven't received since February. It's one of my favorite calls. It's the Rob Bradford panicked call. Gotcha. You know, I don't want to do this to you, but can you take... they're just giving me shit. Rob Bradford, greatest guy here, easily, I would say. Nicest guy I've worked with here. By far. And he's the only guy who's kind of supported what I'm doing and helped give me a chance and all that. So I can tell he feels better. He called me and was like, we got to take the Brady thing down. I'm like, okay. And, you know, I can tell he kind of gets it. He gets that I don't want to do that. But I, you know, he handled it as best he could. And it's also I'm not in a position where I can go, hey, fuck you. we're leaving it up. You know what I mean? Who the hell am I? So I take it. But the bizarre thing was, you'll notice if you scroll through your iTunes or WEI.com or however you listen to this, not on the radio.com app because apparently we're not on there.
Nope. No, we're not.
It promotes it at the end of the show. I don't know why. Hey, you know what? Disregard that. Don't download the radio.com app until we're on there. So you'll notice that last week's episode 30, still up.
Yes, it is.
And I think it's up in its entire... I can't bear listening to my own voice, yeah, so I haven't listened to it, but I think it's all up there still.
Yep, all 39 minutes.
So I looked like a real asshole, because I talked to Rob. He says, we're taking the episode down. I tweet out, hey, we just recorded an episode. It's not going to be up this week. We'll try and get one early next week to make up for it. And people were responding to me like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm listening to it. I'm looking at it on my computer. What do you mean?
Yeah, I was looking at it the whole time. You texted me, and I was like, what? And then I went back and looked through it. I was like, it's still there.
So I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if they listened to it and said, well, this is boring anyways. Who gives a shit? But I criticized Brady, so I would think at the very least they'd want to take it down based on that. I don't know. I have no fucking idea. But it's still up. Listen to it while you can, I guess. And then
till they listen to this episode and decide, oh man, we messed up, and they got to go back and take it down.
See, 2 weeks ago was the much better episode, 29. I like to follow every home run I hit. I like to follow it with a dribbler up the middle. that's my basic average.
I like to bat into a double play.
Yeah, right. It was okay. Last week was fine. Whatever. But so now, like, this Tom versus Time thing comes out. I don't know. Like, am I allowed to dare mention it? I don't.
I mean, yeah.
I don't want. That's the weird thing is, like, now I don't want. I don't have any interest in talking about that.
See, the fact that.
But I feel like now they're not letting me, so I want to. I find the Tom versus Time thing incredibly boring.
Why?
I mean, I thought the first episode was good. It was more interesting than I thought it would be. But then it became very, you know. This is what you got to do if you want to be healthy into your 40s. It's like, oh, I see. They're getting me into the TB12 method.
Yeah,
they're trying to sell me cancer water or whatever the hell.
It was concussion water.
I mix up Alex Guerrero's scams. I apologize.
Whoa, you can't say that.
Whoever. Not Alex Guerrero.
Someone else.
How
dare you criticize anything that Brady does?
The Tom versus Time thing bores me. I don't, you know, everyone gets very wrapped up in it. I heard Felger and Maz say, it's like, Jesus Christ, how many straws can you grasp at to make this offseason interesting for the Patriots? I heard them say yesterday that the trailer for Tom versus Time, which is always, you always need a trailer for a 5-minute video. You always need a 1-minute trailer promoting a 5-minute video.
Of course.
But Felger said that the trailer was very vague. Like, he could have been talking about anything in the trailer. And Felger tried to make it seem like, well, you know, he wanted it that way so that it would seem like he's talking about Belichick. Brady did that intentionally. That's what Felger said yesterday. Do they think that Brady goes into an editing room and he's cutting up audio and splicing it together and shooting B-roll? Tom Brady doesn't make the fucking trailers, you morons. You think he's got iMovie on his laptop and that's how he's doing this? There's a team of people that are editing that and know what would sell and what would promote it well that are making it. Tom has final save. He doesn't like anything in there, but he's not cutting up the video.
No, Tom
Brady. Dummies.
Tom Brady's in his office, all the lights are down. He's just out there.
He's got Adderall and Oreos out. Just working through the night. I don't find Tom versus Time to be an interesting story. I don't think it's a particularly interesting series. Some of it is a little bit, but, you know, it doesn't really grab me. But I just felt the need to at least mention it to prove to you people, the gearheads. The I can't think of a blind pun, but whatever you folks want to call yourselves, the fans of this program, I wanted to prove to you that management ain't going to shut me down. You know, unless they actually figure out how to delete the podcast, then they could very easily shut me down. But as far as what I say into these microphones,
you're just taunting them now.
They have no influence. Yeah, and then we won't tweet that in the title, and they certainly don't listen. So here's the other thing. Stay on me for a minute before we get to Colin Kaepernick. Big story of the week. I'm in a bizarre situation where they told me a while after I had Minahan on, I was badgering him about being on the air. And that's when it came to, like, Joe Zarbano's attention, who I was. And I went on Late Night with Gilroy and stuff like that. So I got, you know, it's not fucking Courtney Cox being pulled up on stage by Bruce Springsteen, but I was noticed a little bit. Jesus, how old am I? I'm 27. I just came out with an 80s reference.
Nice.
Fucking, I got noticed a little bit from that in the sense that I've gotten slightly very minimal more opportunities. And then Chris Curtis called me 2 months ago and said, you know, they, the management here is very worried about people with no experience. They don't want people with no experience on. But, you know, how are they going to, supposedly, Curtis said, how are we going to get Mike on the air if he doesn't have any experience?
How are you going to get anyone new on?
How are you going to get Mike experience if he doesn't already have experience? You know what I mean? Like, how's that going to happen? So they've tried putting me on with, like, Gilroy late at night, which I've liked doing. I would do that show in that spot 5 nights a week with Gilroy if Gilroy could do it. But he's out peddling candy during the day. So, won't happen. But I've enjoyed doing that. If they wanted to let me do that for experience. But there's been a bizarre thing happening where you may have noticed, I think in that time span, I've been on twice.
I think so. Have you been on this weekend?
Thursday.
Oh.
Yes.
There we go.
I was getting to that.
All right.
So
spoilers.
Spoiler alert, folks. Your boy's on Thursday night, midnight to 2 a.m. Prime time, baby. So there's a weird thing going on now where, A, I'll text Chris Curtis after he said, like, we're going to try and get you in regularly on the, like, in a, some sort of a regular thing you're doing. And I figured that meant, like, maybe once a week with Gilroy, or maybe once every other week, or once a month, or what. I figured I would know something of when I was going in. But that never happened. So I'll text Chris Curtis from time to time, because weeks will go by, I don't hear anything. I'll do Gilroy, I don't hear anything the day after. Like, hey, great job, or hey, terrible job, or hey, here's what you need to work on. I don't hear anything. So I'm just left to think, if you listen to episode 28, you know I do a lot of that. And so I'm just left to think, was I good? Did I suck? What the fuck happened? So I'll let, you know, weeks go by because I don't want to bother the guy incessantly. And I'll say, hey, haven't heard anything in a while. Just checking in. Am I going to be back on the air? So I did that at the end of July after I was on Gilroy 3 weeks prior. I did it at the end of July. Chris Curtis said, yeah, let me get back to you Sunday. Sunday comes, he doesn't get back to me. I text him on Monday. Monday comes, and he finally responds and says, you'll be on Tuesday. Okay. So then my next appearance with Gilroy happens. Comes and goes, I don't hear anything. So last week, I sent another text. I sent my end-of-the-month text to Chris to Chris Curtis, and I say, you know, hey, I really like doing Gilroy, I think the podcast has been doing well. I just want to know if I'm going to be on the air anytime soon. Just checking in. And I guess I sent this text at 9:40 on a Wednesday, whatever the fuck it was. But 9:40 was it? 9:41, I believe, to be specific. And I get a response 10 minutes later at 9:51 saying, we're going to get you in with Gilroy next week. I'll let you know on Sunday. Please don't text me during the show.
What? It's a text, not a phone call. Jesus Christ.
I was like, the fuck are you talking about?
Get back to when you have time. Oh, my God. What? You're that concerned that your phone just lit up? Jesus, you're in the back studio.
Now, before I come off like I'm being a fake tough guy, I will admit, I impishly responded, well, I apologize about that. I didn't check the time. My mistake. But in my mind, so I texted Curtis at 9:40, and I figured, well, he doesn't usually respond to me for 2 or 3 days. So he'll get to it when he gets to it. And I don't expect him to respond right away.
Yeah, right.
I figured he'd get to it when he gets to it. He's a busy guy. He's dealing with a lot more than me.
Yeah, you know, because it's a fucking text.
Yeah, he's
not
dealing
a phone call. Jesus.
He's dealing with the biggest show in the market. I don't expect him to get back to me right away. That's understandable. Well, but when
second biggest show.
Are we talking Felger and Maz or Toucher and Rich?
No, Toucher and Rich.
Are you dare suggesting? Because you don't hear that here.
Well,
are you suggesting their ratings are higher than Kirk and Callahan? I don't know.
Well,
I haven't heard that on this station.
It's the implication.
I haven't heard that here. So I just figured you'd text me back at 10:05. Text me back at noon. Text me back at 4:30 the next day. I don't give a shit. It wasn't like I was up at 6. Am I going to be on the show? 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 I just fucking said, hey, you know, just wondering when I'm going to be back on the air.
On the second to last day of the month.
Please don't text me during this. I was like, okay, I'm sorry. So when I get responses like that, I think, well, now I'm just annoying them.
No one around here really is willing.
Friendly?
No. No one's willing to talk to anybody around here. I've tried.
So I think, like, Ken Laird was always very nice to me, and then I don't talk to him anymore, really.
We work in high school. This is high school.
But it's weird because it doesn't make any sense to me because they don't have to put me out. Like, so here's how I feel. I'm like, am I, like, a charity case that they've... That they're like, well, we gotta let them on the air once a month. But then I realized, obviously, that's not how this place operates.
Title IX is helping you out.
But that's the thing, I'm not an employee, so no, it isn't.
What do you mean? You work here? Well, you're not new.
I don't think they even know that.
What?
I don't know if they know I work here.
That's so bizarre to me.
You know what I mean? I don't know if they have any idea that I have an actual job. They must, because they see me around. But,
No, you're just a random guy who just hangs out in the station.
Yeah, I just do a podcast. So I'm in a weird position where I'm like, are they just letting me on because they feel bad for me? But then I realize, why would they? It doesn't make any sense that they would do that. If I suck, they wouldn't put me on. They wouldn't let me have a podcast. But then anytime I ask about it, it's like I feel like I'm bugging them.
No, for working.
Like, oh, this guy again. Yeah, we'll get you on the air. We'll get you your charity 2 hours.
Yeah.
So then I talk myself out of that. I go, that's crazy. You're being self-absorbed. You're thinking too much about yourself. Then I text Gilroy today. Today's Wednesday. I'm going to be on Thursday night. I text Gilroy today. I say, I hear I'm going to be on with you tomorrow. He's like, oh, gee, for how long? I was like, the whole 2 hours. He's like, oh, okay. Well, it'll be great to have you in. I'm like, oh, he didn't need. They don't even tell him. So I don't get what I'm doing here. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know if they're like, let the kid give the kid a few hours in front of a microphone. It'll mean a lot to him.
When no one's listening.
Yeah. Put him on in the middle of the night. Bury his podcast. We won't even tweet it out. Just give him the podcast. Let him take up our fucking space on our website. So I don't get it. So if you guys do like the podcast, like I said last week, which you probably didn't hear, you know, tweet at Curtis and Ken and Zarbano. And let them know. Don't fucking harass them, obviously.
Get
let
the
them
gear
know.
Heads out.
Let them know. Yeah, say, hey, we're gearheads. And when you get the look of puzzlement on their faces, say, we're fans of Mike Geary. And then when they say, who the fuck is that? Say, oh, Blind Mike. And they'll go, okay. That guy. Oh, he's still here? We see him wandering around at lunchtime.
Still doing that podcast?
I don't know. But we soldier on. And as we often do, we'll talk about the big story of the week, which this week is Colin Kaepernick, just when you thought he was out of the news forever. So, if you don't know, Colin Kaepernick, Nike guy now. People are saying he's the face of Nike now. This is obviously ridiculous.
That's asinine.
It's idiotic. He's one of the many spokesman they have, one of the many athletes they have repping their brand. And this started yesterday when the Instagram post went up. Is that how this all started?
Yeah.
It was on Instagram?
Either yesterday or the day before, Nike tweeted or put out the picture that was just like a black and white picture of his face. And it said, it's like, believe in something so you can give up everything or something like that.
It's amazing because I watched the commercial today. The commercial, it's a little long, if you ask me, just to say buy fucking shoes. But
and shirts.
The message is fine. If you watch the commercial, it's basically, you know, Don't just be a basketball player. Be the greatest that ever lived. If you're a girl in Compton, don't just be a tennis player. Be the greatest athlete of all time. You know what I mean? It's all their fucking their people, all the Nike people, and the situation they've gone through. And it's, you know, believe in yourself. Don't just believe in yourself. Believe in yourself to the highest level, which is a great message for kids. It's pie in the sky. Once you get to be in your 20s and the world's beating you down, you realize that's all horse shit. But for children, it's a nice idea. And for people to take that and react to it by burning their shoes and their fucking windbreakers.
They're morons. All of them. People who do that are dumb.
Idiots.
It's just so dumb.
It's silly. First of all, just so you know, before you burn your next pair of sneakers, Nike doesn't make any money on already bought sneakers. You gave them your money. They don't make money on you having it for X amount of years. So just wear them out until you can't wear them anymore. You don't have to burn them. It's fine. Wear them to the gym.
Beat them up.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do with them. Just don't burn them.
But also, for people that were supporting Nike, as if before they were this pious organization held to such a high standard. The kids that made your shoes were underaged Chinese or I don't know where in Asia. Asian American kids that were working in sweatshops for 83 cents a day.
Probably less
that's
than
who's,
that.
That's who's making your clothes. But God forbid a guy who kneels during the national anthem is able to make a few bucks off of them.
Right.
Doesn't make any fucking sense to me. Like, shut up.
Well, I mean, the problem.
It took a lot for me to get on Team Kaepernick.
I'm not on Team Kaepernick.
I am now. I don't. Here's all Colin Kaepernick ever was to me. He's a guy who believed in something for reasons that I don't believe to be genuine. But I can all, I have all, I've also fallen the same trap that I believe Colin Kaepernick did. So what I think happened to Colin Kaepernick is he was dating that girl,
duh,
who was an ultra feminist.
Yep.
She got his mind wrapped up into this message, and if you do this, you'll be a hero and all that. And I imagine the sex wasn't bad, so he said, "All right, I'm gonna do all of that." He did it, and I don't think he necessarily knew the message, because he's an athlete. You know what I mean? He's not a social activist. He never was.
He wasn't up until, what, 2 years ago?
He never was, yeah. So I don't know how much reading he's done on any of these issues or anything. Probably not a lot until the last couple years. And he's probably much more well-researched on it now than he was. But I don't believe that before 2 years ago, he was any sort of a social justice guy or an activist in any way. At least not that I know of, and by all accounts, most people would agree with that.
Nothing was public anyway, at least.
Right. So, Colin Kaepernick kind of fell into that trap, but regardless, maybe it was completely genuine, and maybe I'm doing him a disservice. Either way, all he did was get on a knee during the national anthem, because in his mind, that protested police brutality against young black men. Again, I find that ridiculous and convoluted. First of all, I think the national anthem is more for the troops and the armed forces rather than police and firefighters. It kind of became one, especially around like 9/11 with all the heroes,
right,
during that time. It kind of became honor all the public servants in that way. But what the actual national anthem is for is more armed forces, right?
And just the country in general. Just
and just
patriotic.
The and national pride in general. So when you want it to relate directly to cops, I don't think it never had that meaning for me.
No, but it's a good way. Look, I mean, I'm one of those people that thinks like, okay, great, you want to kneel for the anthem?
Yeah.
That's fine. And it does draw attention, obviously, because he kneeled for the anthem and then became a huge story. And then they ask you why.
So that's what I was going to say.
Send your message.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think it one should directly. I don't think the message was on point necessarily. It didn't make perfect sense to me why he was doing it in that manner. But he got the message across.
It was more of a I think it was more of a catalyst to draw attention
sure.
to him to
sure.
then pump it up.
He got the message across. And again, I don't necessarily agree with them because the message a lot of people attribute to that is that it's all racist cops behind these. And if you look at each individual incident, there's levels to how true that is or is not. but didn't totally agree with the message. It's not for me. As Alex Reimer would say, it's not for a straight white man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That it was never intended for me, so maybe that's why I don't get it. So I'm fine with it. Whatever. I think Kaepernick's kind of a dummy and shouldn't be the face of that cause.
No.
But who? But he was. You know what? He was, and no one else would be. Yeah. He had the balls to do it, regardless of his reasons. You can say it was for, even if it was for a girl. It's still ballsy to do to have that much, you know, as much backlash as there has been against him. So he had the right to do it, and I would be a complete fucking phony if I went on here every time a comedian gets in trouble or James Gunn, you know what I mean? So if someone gets in trouble for a joke and I say, you're all fucking, or Christian Fourier or Reamer, when they get in trouble for jokes and I defend them, if I come in here and say, oh, you're a pussy if you're offended by that, shut the fuck up, the guy has the right to do it. If you don't like it, turn it off. Who cares? And then I came in here when Colin Kaepernick knelt and goes, this is unpatriotic. This is absolutely ridiculous. How much of a hypocrite would I be?
You'd be the biggest one at this whole place.
Right?
And it ever.
But there's a lot of people doing that.
Who?
There's all the people that hate fucking Kaepernick that are burning their shoes. All those people are guys, you know, alt-right or whatever, or even just regular conservatives, whatever, that would have defended comedians or would have defended, Bill O'Reilly when he said something dumb or whoever. But when it's a guy on the other side, it's a let's fucking get him, boys.
Jesus. That is the part that needs to stop.
It's disgusting.
It's like both sides just go after each other with these ridiculous things. It's like dig up your past or whatever. It's like just stop doing it.
It's amazing.
Just stop.
It's amazing that now Bill Maher is like the most centered. Like he's considered like moderate now with how crazy things have gone. Because Bill Maher, at least as of like 3 years ago, was about as liberal as you could get. But now he's a guy who's, you know, and he's always been like he's been consistent on this his entire career that I know of him. But he said a few weeks ago that, it's wrong. If people are rooting for Alex Jones to be scrubbed off the internet, that's wrong. We should shine a light on these guys. And, you know, with any luck, that will expose them. So if you think Colin Kaepernick's an idiot like I do, and you put him in a real debate against someone on the opposite side, I think he'd be exposed. So let's give that a try. Or maybe I'd be completely wrong, and the guy's a fucking genius. You know what I mean? But either way, we're either saying we don't want to listen to genius because we don't want to change our minds on something, or we don't want to expose the dummies out there. We don't want to expose incorrect points.
Well, the thing is like people get so wrapped up in, oh, well, this is dangerous for people to maybe possibly buy into it, which they're probably, if you expose people like Alex Jones or whoever, morons, and people listen to
there's
it,
literally,
like it, and they buy into it, yeah, it's going to happen, but I'm willing to bet there are more people who are sane who will say, wow, that guy's an idiot. Why would I listen to him?
There's literally no more peaceful protest than Colin Kaepernick could have done. Even, I think it's a silly, like, I think saying Alex Jones influences people to be hateful and act out violently, I think that's stupid. But there's more of an argument there, at least, than saying a guy getting on one knee during a song, where 80% of the people in that stadium, while he's kneeling, are taking a piss, shoving a hot dog down their throat, drinking a beer.
Yeah, that's true.
Most of them aren't thinking about the Patriots out in other countries serving us.
Right.
You know what I mean?
My real problem with the whole Kaepernick ad is not, it's not Colin Kaepernick. It's more Nike saying it's like, well, you got to believe in something even if you have to sacrifice everything. It's like the dude didn't sacrifice a whole bunch. He opted out of his contract and denied other contract offers to him because he wasn't getting paid enough.
People say that stuff a lot, and people bring up like the amount of money people are making. Colin Kaepernick's life would have been less of a hassle than it is right now if he never did this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
So he sacrificed something in a way.
But, you know,
he wouldn't have as much positive attention, but he wouldn't have as much negative attention either.
Yeah, but
he wouldn't have to deal with any of this shit.
Yeah,
he'd be
also
a backup quarterback, maybe a starter somewhere.
He wouldn't be a starter.
Somewhere he could be.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Now he's not in the league.
Yeah, but you're not going to, no one's going to pay him for that. And no one's going to pay him because what he wants. And no one really wants their backup QB, someone they're bringing in as a backup to bring a
huge I get all that.
Media circus. So he's not some crazy martyr. Like he's just Now he's getting paid. So my problem is with Nike portraying him as that, and people portraying him as that. It's like, no, just be realistic about it. It's
the
like,
people,
yes.
But the people attacking him are making Nike correct. If they are portraying him as a martyr, which by the way, based on the commercial I saw, they're not.
Oh,
That's what it seemed like they were doing.
I haven't seen the commercial.
The commercial is not. It's got nothing to do with Kaepernick.
Oh, really?
It's Kaepernick's doing the voiceover.
Oh, okay.
But it's literally got nothing to do with him. We can play a little bit of it if you want. I tweeted out. The thing I just tweeted out from Barstool has the commercial. We can play a little bit of it if you want. But, that's the problem is, A, people just assume that Nike's making out to be a martyr, which I don't think he is. But also, the people attacking him are making him out to be that. The ones literally persecuting the guy, saying he's a monster, he's a piece of shit, he's anti... Which... It kind of does sicken me a little bit to defend a guy who wore pigs on his socks when he's being called an anti-cop guy. That disgusted me. That's where Kaepernick lost me. So it doesn't give me any pleasure to defend the guy. But when people fucking go nuts about him, I don't know. I don't know what to believe. Do you have it up?
I do have it up.
All right. Yeah. Just play. I mean, it's long. It's obnoxiously long. But we'll just play like a few seconds of it just so you get a feel for what it is. Colin Kaepernick, yeah, he's just the voiceover guy.
If people say your dreams are crazy, if they laugh at what you think you can do, good. Stay that way. Because what non-believers fail to understand is that calling a dream crazy is not an insult. It's a compliment. Don't try to be the fastest runner in your school or the fastest in the world. Be the fastest ever. Don't picture yourself wearing OBJ's jersey. Picture OBJ wearing yours. Don't settle for homecoming queen or linebacker. Do both. Lose 120 pounds and become an Ironman after beating a brain tumor. Don't believe
that was
you
specific
have to, be like
to someone.
Anybody.
He's not wishing cancer on all of us, but you get the gist of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
That message is fine.
Yeah. I don't think that they're after watching that. It's like I don't think that they're making him a martyr at all. They're just
They're using his popularity with certain people. And Nike was smart. They said, "Hey, we might get some assholes burning their shoes. Most people that buy Nike are still gonna, and we're gonna get the dweebs." That love Colin Kaepernick that wouldn't really buy athletic gear necessarily, but they're going to go, hey, Nike's a nice liberal company. Let's go. You know what I mean? This was a business move.
It was a smart business move,
yeah.
Too.
They got people who probably usually wouldn't buy basketball sneakers or basketball shorts to go buy Nike because they support Colin Kaepernick. And they got a few assholes that burned things. Ooh, you're so intimidating. You're so edgy. You set a fire on your own lawn with your own clothes.
How about apparently
you dumb fuck?
How about the guy that apparently burned his shoes while he was still wearing them too?
good. That's the other thing is people are like a Nike stock's gonna drop.
No, they're not.
No, of course not. They're Nike. They're gonna be fine.
It's a huge fucking company. You're not getting rid of that. You're not gonna hurt them at all by burning shoes.
But yeah, the moral. I just love the moral high ground thing. It's like, well, if they support a cop. I mean, I'm sorry, I can't get my mind on the cop thing. If they support a guy that is anti-cop, I'm walking out of here. I was fine when they had little kids making my shoes, slaving away day and night.
But this...
For a cent a day, that I was fine with. But this is where I draw the fucking... No, thank you, sir.
A guy...
Enough is enough. A former 49ers quarterback on a commercial? Not in my America.
That's not what I want here.
Yeah, fine. You take your business out of the country and you force slave labor laws. That's fine. I'm all for that. But no thank you. if you're going to have a running quarterback. The guy he barely even had an arm, that Kaepernick. He was a run-first quarterback. I'm certainly not supporting that. No, thank you. He's just silly. And then we had Steve Bannon. You remember him? Good old Steve Bannon?
Oh, I remember.
He no longer works for the Donald, but he feels the wrath of having worked for him still today.
Well, so I don't think it's the wrath of working for Donald Trump. I think it's more...
The wrath of voting for him.
I think it's Steve Bannon that is bringing his own attention.
So, Steve Bannon, or anyone who's extreme politically, either way, I typically don't agree with, don't particularly like, but whatever you want to say, go for it. If I support Colin Kaepernick, I'll support Steve Bannon. So the New Yorker Festival wanted to have an interview with Steve Bannon. And it's my understanding, I don't know much about the New Yorker because I'm not a upper crust Manhattan businessman.
You're not even a news guy.
Right. I'm also an idiot.
All right,
I don't know a lot about anything.
Don't twist our words.
So I don't know a lot about the New Yorker. So I don't know the guy in particular, but apparently, shockingly, guy in the media, get this, anti-Trump. You hear me?
That's
You believe that?
My mind is blown.
So this guy works for the New Yorker, and I'm guessing he's the only one there that is anti-Trump. So he wanted to have Steve Bannon on for a discussion that probably would have turned into more of a scolding. You know what I mean? More of a how dare you type of thing. But that's fine. To that, I would say dynamite. Just like I was saying, Bill Maher said, anytime Bill Maher, another great Bill Maher example. Remember Milo Yiannopoulos?
Yeah.
That fucking maniac.
That guy's insane.
Alt-right guy. Bit of a nut. And Bill Maher, while Milo Yiannopoulos was getting banned from colleges and had his speeches protested, he was getting more and more popular. Bill Maher had him on his show. Said, come on, we're not going to fucking heckle you. It's going to be you and me talking. They talked. What have you heard from Milo Yiannopoulos since?
You have not.
Bill Maher made him look like a fucking idiot. And people were like, all right, you know what? Never mind with this guy. So you can't even argue Bill Maher's point about Alex Jones. It's you have the guy on for a discussion. You expose him as a doofus. Or maybe you realize something about people. That even though I don't like their beliefs, he's kind of a bright guy. I see where he's coming from. And we can meet in the middle on certain things. Those are pretty much the options. You know what I mean? Or you find out the guy's a fucking nut job and no one listens to him anymore. So the New Yorker wanted to do that type of a thing with Steve Bannon. I imagine there would have been no way Steve Bannon looked good in it.
No.
Because, again, they're against him no matter what. He might have defended some of his points, better than I could. I imagine he's a pretty good arguer.
Probably. He's a good writer, at least.
So he probably wouldn't have looked like complete shit, but he wouldn't have looked good, I don't think, in that interview. I'm guessing. Knowing nothing about this New Yorker writer. Instead, they never had the interview or the debate or whatever it was going to be. Because guys who I respected, and one guy who I fucking love, and still do, Patton Oswalt, Judd Apatow, who I like, both very funny comedians. Judd Apatow has made a lot of my favorite movies. And John Mulaney, who's one of my favorite stand-ups ever. I love John Mulaney. And John Mulaney's a guy who in his most recent special has a bit about Trump. He's a guy who's never political, but in his new special he has a bit about Trump. But it's so well done. And in a way where you can kind of see where he leans politically, obviously. You can see he's not a pro-Trump guy. But he doesn't club you over the fucking head with it. You know what I mean? There's interpretation there. And as much as he can, kind of gives both sides. And it's a very funny bit. So I was shocked to hear it from him even more than the other two. But Patton Oswalt, John Mulaney, and Judd Apatow, among others, boycotted this festival until Steve Bannon was removed.
I can't believe it's like this is exactly what we were just talking about. It's like, were they defending, you know, James Gunn or anyone before? It's like,
well, they certainly, I don't know about those three in particular. I don't know what they said about, but people like that in comedy all of a sudden started defending James Gunn is one, Dan Harmon is one, Michael Ian Black, guys like that, when they would get in trouble for Joe, all of a sudden, wait a second, it's turning on us. We got to defend ourselves. Leslie Jones was defending all these comedians on The View and did it beautifully, said it very well. So you see all these like left-wing comedians coming out and defending these people because now it's their side that's getting attacked. So you'd think maybe they'd learn a little something. It's like, wait, you can't silence people because then I'll get silenced.
Yeah, you can't go out and defend these people, and then when your crowd, the comedians,
yeah,
are boycotting, you can't now you can't go defend anyone else, or like, you're just going to be a huge hypocrite.
Judd Apatow seems like he's gone very far left.
I think so.
Patton Oswalt has always been very far left, but Patton Oswalt always seemed to me like, even if you didn't agree with him politically, you could have a nice debate about it. You know what I mean? He seemed like a pretty open-minded guy who leaned very far in one direction, if that makes sense.
I don't think that now.
I don't think that now either. And I don't think about John Mulaney. I was sad. John Mulaney's the most depressing name on that list because I never thought of him as a political guy. And it's like, now you're silencing someone because you don't like him?
And it's not.
And here's what, there's always an excuse. There's always, well, but this guy's a racist.
So who cares?
Well, this guy's a misogynist. Well, this guy worked for Trump. Well, this guy's a hate monger. No. That's all the more reason to have them at something like that, because you want to expose that. You know what I mean? If the bad thing, if the reason you were boycotting Steve Bannon was because he has a few unpaid parking tickets, that who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? If it's because he said a few off-color things, it's the people that say the really awful things that you should really want to expose. So if you think Steve Bannon's this monster, you should absolutely have him on. I was also disappointed. Steve Bannon used to have, I think when he first left the White House, he was on, I think Sirius XM had like a Breitbart radio station or something.
I don't know.
That might have been what Schilling was doing. I don't know.
Yeah, it was. Or it was just, I think it might have just been through Breitbart itself. Or
Schilling's might have been just through Breitbart.
Or maybe the
Blaze.
But
Sirius had some Breitbart channel, or just a Steve Bannon show or something. So a bunch of celebrities go through Sirius, obviously. They go to Howard Stern and Entertainment Weekly and all that shit. Seth Rogen was booked to promote whatever movie he was doing in the Sirius XM building and refused unless they would fire, unless they got rid of Steve Bannon.
Come on.
And it's like, first of all, Seth, again, Seth Rogen made probably five of my favorite comedies of all time when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Superbad's probably one of my favorite movies of all time. Fucking Pineapple Express, Knocked Up, 40-Year-Old Virgin. So I love Seth Rogen. But how many of his movies could you look at and say, well, this could easily be protested by any number of groups? One of them was the fucking Korea movie, the interview.
Oh, yeah.
It was taken out of theaters.
Yeah. Netflix had to air it.
So
stream it.
So Seth Rogen can't look at that and say, well, people have gone after me for things I've said. Maybe if I really want to influence some sort of a change, I go on. Not only do I go in the building, I go on this guy's show and have a debate with him. The problem is that 99% of celebrities, it's kind of like the thing I said with Reamer a few weeks ago. I believe I'm like a... I really believe I'm a smarter guy than Reamer. But Reamer is a lot more well-read on politics than me, significantly more on politics than me. He can run, as far as facts go, he could run circles around me in a debate because I just don't have that knowledge. Yeah, he started bringing up Jeff Sessions and certain legislation that was passed, and I don't know anything about that. So in that setting, he'd destroy me. But, and that's what I think a lot of celebrities are afraid of, where Seth Rogen and his philosophies or way of life might be more righteous than Steve Bannon's, But Steve Bannon's probably got a hell of a lot more knowledge than Seth Rogen in that field.
Right. And the political
and could
aspect.
Talk him into a fucking circle. And Seth Rogen would come out looking like an idiot. So I think what a lot of celebrities are afraid of is having that debate and losing. You know what I mean? And I always thought of guys like Patton Oswalt in particular as a guy who he portrays himself as the guy who could have that debate with anyone. So the fact that he's silencing Steve Bannon makes me think not only can he have that debate, I don't think he's capable of it. Because if he were smart enough to make Steve Bannon look like an idiot the way Bill Maher did Milo Yiannopoulos, why wouldn't you just do it?
You would.
Wouldn't it be more fun on so many levels to make Steve Bannon look like a moron?
Yeah, it would. So that's a good point. Like, why would you not? Why would you pass up the opportunity to make someone
you know how
you
big that video would be?
Disagree
if,
with.
If Patton Oswalt said, hey, instead of saying, hey, throw Steve Bannon off the show, said, hey, let me do the interview. First of all, they'd do it in a second because there would be a lot more attention for that versus just some asshole from The New Yorker. If Patton Oswalt did it,
yeah.
Or Judd Apatow, they should have said, hey, let me do it. Let me run fucking mental circles around this guy. You know what I mean? Let me make a complete idiot out of him. That video goes viral. All the people on Twitter fucking eat it up. A few people make excuses that they attacked Steve Bannon. And that's how it goes. Looks great. But instead, it looks, at the very least, that would look a hell of a lot cooler than going, no, you're not allowed in.
It a lot better. It
look would like
be
a fucking
lot,
nerd.
A lot better look for yeah. them, just as a whole, if they did that.
You look like you look like clown. And it saddens me. It makes me feel like I've just wasted my, well, I have wasted my time no matter what. But it makes me feel like I've wasted time defending comedians as much as I have. Because then you look and see like, oh, even they don't give a fuck about it. If it's against what they believe in. That's why you got to support guys like Bill Burr, Jim Norton. I hate to say Louis C.K. Dave Chappelle. Guys like that who it doesn't matter what color tie you're wearing. You know what I mean? They'll defend you if they believe in what you're representing. And, you know, the Louis thing has become a weird thing, too. We addressed it a little bit last week. But fucking now comedians are going after Louis. And it, again, another comedian I respect the shit out of, Christina Pajitsky. She has a Netflix special. She's Tom Segura's wife. Tom Segura and Christina Pajitsky do a podcast together called Your Mom's House. They talked about Louis last week. And this is one thing I love Christina Pajitsky. But she said, you know, like, it's really gross that Louis's coming back. And that's fine if you have that opinion. That's fine. But what she said that bothered me was, she goes, you know, like 9 months, it just shows you don't care about the victims. It has to be at least a year.
Why?
I have no fucking idea.
That's such an arbitrary amount of time.
Because you came up with that in your mind? Why is it 9 months? You're saying the guy can't work? You're saying the guy is not allowed to work in his field. And you get to, not only that, you get to decide how long he doesn't get to work for. It doesn't matter that he got a standing ovation. Louis went on stage in New York, got a standing ovation when he was done. Two assholes felt the need to talk to a blog. And I say assholes, if you have this opinion, that's totally fine. If you can't watch Louis now because you're uncomfortable by him, I get that. I've seen the Cosby Show on TV, and I'll click on it just to see what it's like, and I'm like, oof. And now, I don't think Louis is anywhere near Cosby, but I'm just trying to make an example where you're just like, ugh. Why is this on television?
Maybe he'll shut this off.
So I get if you can't watch Louis because you're uncomfortable, that's fine. The reason I call them assholes is because you weren't offended by it. You could have got up and left. But what you'd rather do is get your name into a blog that people read. And then you can show people, see, I said I was offended by Louis. And they go, oh my good, look at you.
Good for you.
Look at you, a good liberal. Aren't you standing up for women like that, huh? Atta boy. Or girl. I don't know if it was men or women that said they were uncomfortable. But again, like I said, I get, especially if women are uncomfortable, I get it. This fucking creep will just jerk off in front of you. You know what I mean? Who, obviously, you can be uncomfortable by that. But it's like to go to a blog and just try and get your name out there. That it proves you have no moral repugnance with it. You know? You just want the attention. But yeah, comedians coming out and saying, like, it's wrong of the club. Boycott the club for booking him. Hey, how about you run a fucking club, first of all, and tell me that one of the biggest comics in the country walks in and says, hey, I want to do a secret show on stage.
Like a 15 minute. That was it.
Is that cool? Make all your fucking fans happy and give a standing ovation? Yep. Gladly. Because the reason you do that if you're the Comedy Cellar is because you have that's the way you do it. He's one of your guys. He's a guy that's passed there at the Comedy Cellar. And the Comedy Cellar rules are, not rules, but what you know going in is, on a given night, you can walk into the Comedy Cellar, and there's lineups there. You know, you might see Rich Voss or Bobby Kelly or whoever. But on a given night, you could see maybe even back-to-back-to-back Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, Louis C.K., Amy Schumer, Aziz, the people that sell out fucking arenas, on a given night could all be at the Comedy Cellar. That's just what happens there. So, you have to realize there might also be a comedian that makes me uncomfortable. Now, Louis might be a different category of uncomfortable for you. But you could go up there and see Nick DiPaolo, who's crazy far right. You could go up there and see Big J. Okerson, who's going to talk about ridiculous sex acts and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, you could be uncomfortable no matter what. So, it's up to you when you buy a comedy ticket. I have to have the strength, if you want to call it that, to get up and walk out of here. We coddle too often the people. You can just leave. You know what I mean? You don't like what's going on stage? Maybe demand your money back if you want. Say, hey, I didn't know I was going to see a fucking creep like Louis. Can I get my money back? 9 times out of 10, the club's going to say, yeah, no problem. We understand. Because they did something weird, and they also did a thing that's going to have more people come to the club, so they don't mind losing $25. But you know, don't act like you're a fucking victim because Louis told jokes on the stage for 15 minutes.
No, you gotta get that into the limelight somehow. You gotta get your name out there.
Yeah. We coddle the babies instead of, uplifting the people that aren't afraid to speak their mind once in a while. So Colin, I'm with you, baby. Kneel,
team captain.
Kneel until those knees can't take it anymore. I'll be kneeling with you next week or tomorrow night.
Yeah,
football tomorrow night.
Oh, I can't wait! I'm so happy.
And then a post game, Geryon Gilroy.
Oh boy,
I feel like I should get top. Geryon Gilroy sounds better than Gilroy and Geary. Gilroy's name's too hard to say. Gilroy.
Yeah, it's gonna be the second.
It's got that LR. Geryon Gilroy.
That's better.
Yeah. So if you guys do like what I do, check that out. Tomorrow night on WEI, Thursday, midnight to 2 a.m. And like I said earlier, please tell your friends about us and tell Chris Curtis and Joe Zarbano I'm being marginalized. I'm being held down because of my disability.
Yeah, milk those Title IX points, buddy. Get them going.
I'm a disabled man.
There we go.
That should be on the air.
Yes. Oh, perfect.
And, you know, tell them you like trash talk. And even if you listen on WEI.com, which is where I think a lot of people listen to it because that's what gets tweeted out the most. Even if you do that, go to iTunes and subscribe or wherever else you get podcasts. It should be up. And give us the old 5-star rating. And positive review, because I need it to get through the day. And at Jared Dignan is my
there you go.
Producer.
That's right.
And Seeing Eye Man.
Yes.
And I am at Blind Mike _. And, you know, don't go home with hope, folks.
You've been listening to Trash Talk with Blind Mike. Hear it again on WEEI.com, iTunes, and the Radio.com app. Tune in next week for another edition of Trash Talk, a presentation of WEEI.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lemonade! Fresh squeezed lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.